Thank you for downloading the Flixsters podcast. On this week's episode,
part one, it kind of was interesting, don't get me wrong, but kind of fell flat a little bit. This one starts flat, continues flat. This one tries to be too much. It tries to do something that it's, I don't know, it tries too hard maybe.
It's not a Stone Cold classic for me. It's got some funny bits in there. It's got some great stunt scenes. And it's got this obviously romance in there. But some bits, it was too... It's kind of too farcical.
You know what? I think that he will still... He may still actually get those others, you know? I think he probably did such a good pitch that they signed on the dotted line and they're just going to commit.
And we are live.
This is us. This is the Flixsters, the three of us, man. This is now. Listen, look, Emmanuel. Hang on a second. You did what a couple of weeks ago as well, didn't you? Not last week. The week before that, you did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
when you
exactly.
Was churanting, when you was busy.
When I was out meeting Deval. I was out meeting Deval in England, man.
Where was mine though? Hey.
Man, listen. Honestly, you know what? I'm gutted. No show. I didn't record a show live with Deval, and I only managed to meet him like once out of the whole 3 weeks. Yeah. So it was like rush job, man. But it was great, man. It was great. Yeah, man.
It's all good, man.
It's all good. But listen, we're here. Emmanuel, Deval, and I, we're yep. here bringing you episode 283.
Yep.
Yep.
You, Emmanuel, teacher, and me. Hold on, that's four people. No, hold on. No, is that right? You,
283?
Yeah, 283. Yeah. You, Emmanuel, teacher, and me. That
yeah,
rhymes.
You two and me. All right, okay.
Long time so, to get there. Honestly, these are...
Got there in the end.
Finally got there, yeah. So listen, folks, we've got a great show for you. Actually, you'll be the judge if this is going to be a great show, but I think it's a great show. So we're going to be speaking movies. Obviously, we've got a couple of film reviews that we're going to be speaking about, latest releases out there, and the three of us are kind of going to get into those movies. We've got Anniversary Corner, which is interesting. And also, we've got, as usual, new and streaming, new trailers. But before all of that, Deval is going to take us through shout-outs.
Yeah, I've got some shout-outts. We're going to shout out again, Ciel Noir 3. Shouted her out last week, and she was really kind enough to put out a nice little story on her Instagram and link us to it, just bigging her up. So bigging her up again. Like I always say, go check out her page, Ciel Noir 3 Music. Lifestyle, she does TV presenting, all that positivity.
Wicked.
Guaranteed, you go to her page, come back feeling much, much better.
So, yeah. And listen, I just want to quickly add, Deval, someone messaged me, by the way, and said, check this out. Someone messaged me and said, some of the, you know, the slang, some of the words that we use, sometimes they don't get it. So bigging up, just kind of quickly, what's bigging up again?
Oh, bigging up is like, how do I translate it?
Giving
respect.
Elevating someone, you know, saying something nice about them, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah,
exactly.
Commending them. Or
yeah, exactly. So there you hear it. There you've got it. Okay, next shout out.
Okay, next I'd like to commend Zach Wolf.
I like to big up.
Go check out Zach Wolf's page. He was here a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Massive, massive friend of the show. Loves his movies and hidden gems and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, big up to Zach Wolf as always. Next shout out or next commendation. Next hello goes to the 5F's Telegram channel. And they actually gave us the recommendation for today's hidden gem, which I'll talk about later really quickly. But the 5F's Telegram channel, go in Telegram. 5F's are all the F's we need in life. Fun, finances, faith, and...
I know it ain't food.
Frolicking. No, fun. We always get this one. Fun. We always get this one. Fun.
And then the last one is...
It's footy.
Family, I think it is.
Oh, is it family? Oh, okay. I thought it was family, footy.
Yeah, they're the 5 S we need in life. That covers every base.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're on there as well. We have our YouTube premiere on the 5F's Telegram channel.
I love that.
Every Wednesday, 8 p.m. UK time. So go and catch us there, as well as catching us on Instagram, on X, on Facebook, and TikTok. So make sure you keep linked in with us there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, folks, if there's a movie that you want us to watch, review, speak about, just get in touch with us, message us, and we'll definitely do that on the show. All right, let's get on to movie news. Now, we've spoken over the last kind of 5 years, we've spoken a lot about the Alien franchise, the good stuff, the bad stuff, you know, Ridley Scott messing around with it, whether if it's Alien Covenant or Prometheus and all that sort of stuff. So we know that Alien, the universe of Alien, is going to be returning, like on the small screen, but tell us about this, because this is going to be kind of something to do with a re-release, right? We're going to be seeing this back in the cinema?
Yep. So basically, Alien joins old movie hits returning to theatres. Because of a huge slump in ticket sales, majority in the US, but you know what happens, you know, when, what's the expression? When the US has a cold,
UK sneezes.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, we play catch up, man. And then it's so funny. And then it's the same thing with Australia. Australia is catching up to the UK. So
oh, really?
It's like it happens in the US first, then it goes to Europe, and then it happens here last. So okay. It's the same thing, man. But what do you make of this, guys, about them re-releasing the old hits like Terminators, Aliens, your Karate Kids, I'm imagining.
Yeah, like, there's Back like to the 34 Futures. Of them. There's like 34 of them that they're re-releasing definitely before the end of April. But then there's going to be another burst probably beginning of May as well.
Yeah, because so. I know they're doing Lord of the Rings. That one popped up as well.
Yeah.
They're doing Lord of the Rings again. I mean, is it
Spider-Man?
I've seen a few of them.
Yeah, Sony Pictures releases 8 Spider-Man films.
Oh, okay. I mean, what do you reckon? Is it desperation or is it like nostalgia?
I'm not sure if it's a desperation, but it's more of in reflection of 18% of the box office sales are down for 2024. You know, the beginning of 2024, which is like that's the first quarter. So yeah, 18% is quite large, but that's just because of the new movies that's coming out. So, I mean. To me, I think 2024 is going to be a slow year basically for movies anyway. Probably more on streaming. Streaming ain't gonna die anytime soon.
No, it's not going away, is it?
Oh yeah, I think it's in reaction to streaming basically, trying to still keep bums on seats and theaters still out there. So, because during the pandemic and after the pandemic, I mean. We're not supposed to say the P word, those places were affected, and that's
call
why
it
we
the
had...
C word. But what do you reckon? All right, okay, just before we move on, tell me one movie that you would love to go back and watch.
Aliens.
Okay, well there you go. This is the Aliens is going to be there. So, Emmanuel, what about you?
Wouldn't mind. Terminator.
Terminator, yeah, both classics.
Yeah, one and two.
Both good shouts. Both brilliant good shouts. Me, I'd probably want to watch The Exorcist.
Oh, okay. Ooh, in the cinema.
Again. Because I remember, watched it. This is because I remember they did the re-release, about 20 years ago. So it's been a while, man. All right, okay. So let's move on and we'll keep you posted on that. And if you do watch those old classics in the cinema, let us know. What do you reckon? Is it the same thing as watching it at home? All right, let's do 28 years. The franchise, the 28 years, 28 days, 28 weeks, and now 28 years later, they're doing this. Is it needed? Who's going to be in it, Emmanuel? What do you reckon?
Well, I don't know. I think it was a recent announcement on Thursday. And it was basically the 28, it was who the cast are, the main cast. And it's, like you said, it's 28 years later. It'll nearly be 20 years since the first movie in the trilogy. The 28 days. When it probably comes out of the franchise. But this one is going to be written by Alex Garland.
Yeah.
I think was he the one who did Civil War? Who wrote Civil War as well?
Yeah.
And Danny Boyle. I mean, what was the last movie that Danny Boyle did? I can't remember off the top of my head.
I can't remember. But I know Alex Garland did also write 28 Days Later, didn't he?
Yeah, he wrote the first one. Yeah, for me, I thought I loved the 28 Days Later.
Yeah,
for
me, classic.
That for me, it was a zombies real running.
It was scary because we hadn't seen zombies running before.
But for me, it was more seeing London, the Londonscape, so empty, and then it was like, oh my god, like if this happened, being someone who lives in London and seeing London how empty and dead it was, that was scary.
Yeah.
So for me, I loved the 28 Days Later. But those are the writers who are going to be on it. And Danny Boyle is going to be also directing.
Yeah. I just typed it in IMDb, guys. And but interestingly, they've gone with, so the actors that have popped up is Jodie Comer. She's a British actress.
Jodie Comer.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Who we know is going to be, what is it? The new James
Craven.
Bond.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Craven the Hunter. And
yeah.
I think he was in Kick-Ass 1 and 2, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he's in The Fall Guy, which I'm going to speak about a bit afterwards. But Aaron Taylor Johnson, and they haven't gone with Cillian Murphy.
No.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't want to do it anymore.
No, I mean, he did say that he wanted to, he would love to do the next one, but this time I think he may be a small part, like a cameo, because he's basically executive producer in this one.
Okay. Right, gotcha.
So Cillian Murphy's going to be executive producer, and then Ralph Fiennes, I don't know any of the movies. Do you like
that? He's been around, man.
Isn't he? Yeah, been a bunch of stuff. Harry Potter is in it, or one of the Fiennes.
But he doesn't seem to be like, he looks. I don't know. Got mixed feelings about the cast anyway, but the one thing I would like to still remain is for it to, you know, to stick to its low budget roots, basically.
Yeah.
But I'm not too sure whether this is worthy of a cinema release, or because a lot more of the stuff is on streaming. And I think with it being the third one in the trilogy, it has to be in the cinema, but I don't think it's going to be big.
Interesting thoughts? Take.
I will tell, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to wait. Have they said when this is going to be released?
No, there isn't. There isn't a release date. That's why I say it will probably be close to like 20 years since when it does get released. It will probably be like 20 years since the first one.
Yeah. Maybe waiting for some sort of anniversary or something. All right, okay. Listen, we'll keep you posted on that one. Now, let's keep it with horror. Now, Evil Dead, we spoke about the last one, Evil Dead Rise, on the show. And we quite liked it. And so, DeVal, what's going on with this one, man? Are we seeing a sequel, a prequel, a continuation of that story that we watched maybe like about 6 months? No, about a year ago, was it?
Seen all of the above, mate, honestly. I'll just go through this one quickly. But yeah, Evil Dead, we know Evil Dead. Sam Raimi, was it 1983 or 1980?
Yep, early 80s.
Early 80s. Horror comedy type thing, really mad, you know, all that blood and gore, all that kind of stuff. We've seen Evil Dead sequels and all kinds of TV shows over the years. The most recent one, well, semi-recent one we saw in 2013, Fede Alvarez, who's going to be directing the new Alien Romulus, who everyone's saying is going to be a wicked film.
Mm.
Fede Alvarez knows what he's doing with that, but this time we're going to be, last year, 2023, we had Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah.
And that was a totally different, like, environment. That was New York or LA. It was somewhere in a city, basically, and not in a cabin like it usually is. Different environment, a family. Evil Dead still had to rise from the ashes kind of thing. That was a different spin. It was interesting. The budget was only $19 million. Guess how much it done?
Cheap. 100?
$147 million.
That's great. It
pretty much nearly done a 10x. You know what I mean? Yeah. So good returns.
Good returns on the investment. Yeah.
If I had a suit on, it would be like, yeah, exactly. Nice one.
Which is why they're bringing out another one. So Sam Raimi's production company is bringing out another Evil Dead. Not sure what the details are on this one yet. The director, I forgot the director's name actually, but the director's got a really hasn't got much on the on their IMDb. Got one or two feature films, and the rest are shorts.
His name is Francis Galuppi, I think.
That's the one, Francis Galuppi.
Yeah,
let's see what you know. Let's wait and see what happens. This is going to be coming out. I believe it's going to be next year or so. But yeah, Evil Dead isn't dying, basically.
Yeah,
so,
didn't you say that like you don't really need like to have accolades before you to just start doing a zombie movie?
Forever
it's already got the name, right? It's already got that Evil Dead kind of like history. So people, you don't need huge actors, big actors, make it on a low budget. And if it makes 100+, man, they're flipping laughing. All right. So we'll keep an eye on that one for you folks. And finally, let's speak about this because this was kind of like in the news, you know, affected the film industry because it involved a lot of kind of actors and things like that. But Harvey Weinstein, the last image that I saw, no joke, guys, this was him with a walking stick, practically Zimmer frame, walking into the courthouse, shaking, getting sentenced. And then people were like kind of celebrating because it was a, you know, good day for justice and all that, you know, part of the Me Too movement. But Emmanuel, what you're saying is that somewhere, someone along the line messed up with the evidence.
Well, yeah. So what? So the news is that Harvey Weinstein has been was acquitted on his New York case because of, long story short, evidence that wasn't applicable to the case in hand, and so they were basically going by playing things by the book, which. Harvey's argument was that they weren't doing that when it was his case being dealt with in New York. So he's been acquitted of that. However, I mean, another evil that you'd want still to be locked away, like one of them characters in Mindhunter. You know, he's like at the bar, and he's like, "I'm gonna get you," exactly. kind of thing. But yeah, he's still in jail. Only because like he's still got other convictions which is keeping him in jail. So I mean, if he gets them acquitted and he's you know, who knows? I don't know whether he's going to get released or what, but it might be a long fight for him to get out. But yeah, the fact that he got acquitted on the New York one is a scary thought.
And listen, man, I mean, this guy's, I was just doing a quick kind of search and the movies that he's 72 years old. Not only that, and just some of the movies that he's been behind, like a lot of classic movies that we love. Exactly. The Weinsteins were, you know, they were behind some big movies. So I wonder, like, you know, going back now, when people watch those movies, when they look at kind of some of those movies, will they be like, oh shit, I wonder what was going on behind the scenes? Like, you know, I read some stories about he was making kind of the actresses do stuff, come to his hotel room to kind of practice lines. And you know what that means. Yeah. Practice lines and all that sort of shit. So yeah, man. So the women behind all, you know, these stories are going to kind of, there's going to be a backlash, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be coming pretty soon. So folks, that is your movie news for this week. Remember, keep it locked with the Flixers. We bring you lots and lots of more movie news. Let us know if you've heard or something and you want us to discuss as well, but let's do a new one streaming. Now, listen, I want to quickly just mention my take on this. X-Men 97.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I'm finding it hard to get into it.
How is it? How far are you into it so far?
I'm on the second episode.
Okay, do you know what? That's exactly
That's fine.
Don't worry. Okay. Don't worry. I said the same thing when I was there.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna spoil anything for you.
Okay, alright, okay, cool. So I've got to just stick with it.
Stick with it, because you know what? Okay, I put it on here because I wanted to say more, but I don't want to say more because you ain't seen it. But
say it. Like, is it? Are they stone? Are they classics in there?
Yes.
Okay, that's it. Yeah.
They have recaptured what the old X-Men was all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, this is wicked.
This is fire.
Really, okay. Yeah. Oh, I've got to watch it. Keep watching it then.
We ain't seen it so far. Go Disney Plus. You can watch it.
Yeah,
and then it'll make you want to watch the old ones again.
Yes.
Really appreciate what Marvel should be, but yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
You, I'll tell you, if anyone has anyone seen that GIF with the little girl and she does this?
I think so, that was how I felt with the recent episode, man.
I think
there's 10 altogether, I think. So
They're doing a slow burn release, are they?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, okay, cool. No, I'll stick with it. So folks, yeah, go check that out, X-Men 97. Obviously we're fans, you know, of the X-Men universe, but specifically the animation from, you know, obviously back in the day. And there's already talk of doing another part to this. So yeah, people are already saying this is going to be good. All right, let's move on to something on Amazon now, Amazon Prime. This is called Them, The Scare. So I'm assuming here that this is horror.
You assume right, Mr. Bond.
Okay, tell us about this.
Yeah, this one. remember Them that came out on Amazon? Amazon Prime, Them. It was a TV series that was like a sort of 1950s America.
Okay.
And then a black family. We're moving into like a very white area.
Oh, yes. Remember that?
That came out a couple, oh my gosh, 2021. I thought it was later than that. Yeah. Really good show. Really quite original and just, yeah, it was a really good show, but that's what I'm going to say. But Them have now got I think it's more like an anthology? Is that how you describe it? So basically, some of the actors that were in the first series are going to be popping up in the second series, but it's a whole different setup. Same actors playing different people, I believe.
Oh, interesting.
I believe. I hope I'm not wrong there, but...
Will that be confusing, though?
That's the thing. It's not.
Okay. Could it be a timeline, a different timeline?
It's a different timeline as well, but you know how, like, The House on Haunted Hill does it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think kind of like that, where the same actors, all of the same actors are in...
Bly Manor, but
they're different people. So I think it's kind of like that. But there's not much to say about this because I haven't seen it yet. But I'm gonna, by the next episode, I would have watched some of this. All I know is the trailer looks good. The lead actress is hunting down some sort of serial killer in the 80s. So you know, so yeah, all I can say is it looks good, man. It looks a bit haunting, a bit twisted, all the kinds of stuff I like. So yeah. Go to Amazon and check that out, man. Honestly.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do. Definitely, we'll check that one out. And the other one, now I've seen all of this. This was the big other thing that I've been watching over the last kind of couple of weeks. This is Fallout on Amazon. And the reviews have been, I've been hearing some great reviews. I've been hearing some like good stuff. And for me personally, I mean, I haven't played the game, but I know the game existed. It's okay. It's fine. It's decent. But I wouldn't go as far as saying what some of the other people have been saying, which is like, oh, it's wicked. I love the world building. I love the fact that they are, you know, bringing it as close to the game as possible. The character of the ghoul, that, you know, he's interesting. You know, so there's a lot of stuff going on in there. And then the way it ends is it's just like, yeah, so we're going to be set up for a season two and it's going to be kind of like a wider universe type of a thing.
I mean, I wasn't wanting it, but I have enjoyed the first season.
Yeah,
you finished it.
This one will be one on mine to. I can't wait for the second season.
Okay.
Yeah, but I know the second season's already been greenlit. So
yeah. I think I'm halfway through this first season, and again, I'm enjoying it. It's different.
Yeah.
At first, I thought this is going to be shit, but it's kind of different, and the characters seem to.
For me, it's the three characters: Lucy's pursuit for the truth, and then the ghoul.
He's such a good guy, but an asshole as well.
Yeah.
And then Maximus, he's a classic gunslinger. It's like you know, the westerns.
Yeah, he needs to be that way as well. He's been through some shit, so
yeah, he has. And he's just you know in search as well, like for his own thing. Yeah, so I'm liking those three, you know, three characters, three separate storylines, and then there's the fourth one, which is the Surface Dwellers, which we saw later on. Yeah, I like that. you know, the whole evil corporation trying to disguise itself as being the good guys.
And everything. And listen, man, we've seen that. I mean, we've seen that before, like, you know, in other kind of TV shows. And that just kind of makes you just think, man. When I was watching this, I was just thinking, you know, there are big corporations that who probably, the way that they manipulate kind of events around the world.
Yeah, they curate their image so well.
And this is happening in real life, man. So, you know, your Googles, your Metas, your Apples, like, you know, who knows, man, who else and what else is going on behind the scenes. All right, okay, so that's Fallout. Go check it out. Let us know what you think. Now, let's do new trailers. Blink Twice. This sounds interesting. Yeah, so tell us about this.
Yeah, this one is a... How do I describe it?
It looks like a trippy.
Movie. Very trippy movie, very crazy, very like they go to. Well, basically, let me start from the beginning real quickly. I know we've got a few things to go through, so I won't take too long. This one is written and directed by, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it when I heard it, Zoe Kravitz. Zoe Kravitz written or co-written and directed this. This stars Channing Tatum, Carl McLachlan. Gina Davis.
Oh my God, he was just in Fallout.
There you go. Christian Slater. Who else? Who else? You got Adria Arjona. Arjona. Yeah, she was in, I think,
Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle. And the one with Vin Diesel, where he's that mad DC guy. I can't remember what it's called now. Deadshot.
Oh, Bloodshot. Deadshot.
Yeah.
Bloodshot. But it's got a great cast. Basically, they seem like they're going to some rich person's island to have fun, and it just seems mad. I can't explain it. It just needs to be seen. That's all I can say.
Yeah,
go check out the trailer. Let us know what you think.
What was the one with the last James Bond's main star?
Onion, glass onion.
Going to the rich person's house. Yeah. That was a
crazy thing.
This is Amazon, so we're gonna probably see it on Prime.
Well, it's coming out in a cinema, from what I understand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so but it might come out in Prime afterwards. It's also got the guy from I See Dead People, Sixth Sense.
That
big man now, but yeah, the boy that was in that is in this.
And he was in The Boys.
Oh, okay.
And he was in The Boys, exactly. Yeah, so he's in.
Nice.
Well,
so. Okay.
Amy Joel Osment. Yeah, so yeah, go check it out on trailers. Let us know what you think.
All right, yeah, that is Blink Twice. Okay, so now the next one, this sounds like a Winter Soldier kind of thing going on over here. This is the Soviet Sleep Experiment. So tell us about this.
This one here. Great title. There's no blink in here. You got to keep your eyes open. This one here, this sounds like, and I don't know if it is, but this sounds like the sort of thing that was based on a true story. This gives me vibes of true story all over it. You know, back in the day, you know, the Nazis and all kinds of people were doing experiments on humans. I'm sure to this day, people are still doing it.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, this one looks like it was made ages ago, but it's going to be released quite soon. And this is a film that basically gets subjects. I'm not sure where they got the subjects from, if they were prisoners or anything like that. This is based on a true story. It is from the 1940s.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So basically, they put these people, these subjects, in an environment where they are kept awake for 30 days straight.
Jeez.
30 days straight. And it's to really test how they respond to it, their brain, their psychology, their physiology, all kinds of stuff. And we do know from the research that's been done, need sleep. Your brain needs
military.
Yeah, man.
Recover.
Military funding.
Telling you, man. So this film, I'll admit, the quality doesn't look great. It kind of gives you very, very low budget vibes. But I can see this version being remade by people with more money. But interesting. Go check it out on trailers anyway.
So go check out the Soviet Sleep Experiment. Now, the next one, I've heard a bit of kind of, you know, a few things about this one. This is The Exorcism, and this is Russell Crowe. He's playing an exorcist. So, or is that right?
This is a madness, man. This is, this is, you know, recently he's done that film,
The Pope's Exorcist or something.
Pope's Exorcist, yeah. So now, for some reason, somebody saw that and thought, oh, he can be an exorcist again, you know. I don't know what's going on. It's got two titles, it's got The Exorcism and it's got The Georgetown Project. I don't know what's what, but basically, okay. Russell Crowe, and in this one, he's got a massive belly, mate.
He's not gonna lie, but I'm not gonna lie, but I've he's seen let the himself go. and he looks like a priest. He looks like what you would expect in an Irish Catholic.
Yeah, kind exactly.
Of. Yeah, like drinking, swinging, like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So he's basically a troubled actor. A troubled actor begins to unravel while shooting a horror film. His estranged daughter wonders if he's slipping back into his past addictions or if there's something more sinister. So he's actually an actor. He's on set. He's doing a film about exorcisms and whatever. And I think his daughter even says, oh, you know, during the filming of these types of films, The Omen, Exorcist, real shit happened to cast members.
Right.
So the trailer gives you that little nugget. And then throughout the trailer, you see that he himself is being possessed.
It's a
madness. So yeah, so it's mad.
Russell Crowe being possessed. Yeah. I mean, the guy's mad even without any of that stuff. And
I don't know, but the fact that he's an actor, would you believe whether he's being possessed or not? Or would you be like, yo, exactly. You did well.
The guy's unhinged, man. Seriously. He turned up in, remember when he turned up in Thor? The last Thor movie.
It was
what the hell was that? I don't know. I remember listening to an interview he gave. I think it was when he was making Robin Hood. And then the interviewer, like a British interviewer, said to him, oh, so Russell, you know, you did something really interesting with the accent. What kind of accent were you going for? Southerning? Like, you know, what were you going for? And because it wasn't really English. And then he went off. He lost the plot. Yeah. He got angry at the interview and he goes, oh, you got deaf ears, mate. Like, you don't know what you're doing. And like, you know, and it was awkward, man.
So maybe for this one, it was the, you know, the pitch was just be yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even his accent in Thor, that was like, what was he doing? I just kind of, don't get it. But anyway, so we'll see what he's doing in this one. So that's The Exorcism. That's going to be coming out shortly. Now this one, let's speak about this. And Deval, you kind of put this up in the group chats and everything like that. So I was really eager to kind of, you know, have a look at this. So this is the full on trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine, which interestingly people are saying this isn't Deadpool Part 3. This is kind of like a standalone, you know.
It feels this, more of a standalone with a lot of this.
It stuff. Does, doesn't it? With that whole trailer and everything like that. So, yeah, man, tell us, talk us through this, because there's a lot of shit to get. There's a lot of shit in this trailer.
What I can say is I haven't been looking forward to Marvel for a long time, but I'm looking forward to Marvel. This looks like fun. Deadpool does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. There's no rules. Mm. There's even a line in the trailer where he says something about, oh, what's allowed? Oh, Feige's greenlit this, or Feige okayed this.
Yeah.
You know that's going to be true. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
it's mad.
Mad. But yeah, it just shows a bit more about what's it about. It kind of seems like Deadpool's trying to use Wolverine to, I don't know, get to some sort of objective, and Wolverine isn't really feeling it. Wolverine seems like he's dejected, like he's lost a lot, and he doesn't care. And obviously we've got the, who's those people that keep zapping people
the TVA.
Away?
TVA.
Time Variance Authority, so they're involved as well. And we get to see a quick glimpse of the new baddie, Cassandra Nova. I had no idea who she was. I had no idea at all. I thought it was some sort of Professor X lookalike. Mm. But she is actually from the comics. She's linked to Professor X.
Mm.
In that when Professor X was born in the physical world, some part of Professor X's energy was also born in the astro plane. And then that energy was growing and growing in the astral plane, and then somehow the energy has now come across into the physical realm in the form of Cassandra Nova. That's why she looks bald like him.
In the comics, she looks like Gollum.
Yeah. But she's got mad powers. Like, I'm not sure if it's the same as Professor X, but in the trailer, you kind of see Wolverine can't move and whatever. And
yeah.
She's going to be mad powerful.
And there's a bit in the trailer where Deadpool and Wolverine, they're actually fighting against each other.
Yeah.
So some people are saying that obviously because he's got the TVA and he can go into different timelines, he's fighting different Wolverines to get to the one Wolverine who's going to help him out.
Okay. That sounds about right.
Sounds like as if it could kind of, that could be something.
It's going to be some nice cameos though.
Huge, massive.
I heard Ben Affleck. I heard I'm not sure if it's maybe Deadpool. I'm not sure, but also
Brad
Elektra.
Brad Pitt probably be back.
A few that could show up. So we'll have to wait and see. Maybe Cap might show up, or Iron Man might show up, or anything. Anything.
Man, can happen. I know that red guy.
Anything can happen.
Red Skull.
Ant-Man's in it. Well,
the X-Men. Yeah. When they were the young X-Men.
The mutants. Young mutants.
I think it was the Young Mutants.
Mutants. Gambit show up as well. I heard Gambit.
Channing Tatum. I've heard of that rumor as well. But there's a shot of the big Ant-Man. What do you call it? The helmet thing, so obviously there's something, they're in some sort of place, the void, some people are mentioning the void, it could be the void and they go there because obviously to do with the TVA. Man, I'm like you on this one, Devout. I'm, you know, looking forward to this. It looks fun, it looks crazy, it looks madcap, and so we'll see what happens with this one.
Manage my expectations, man. I'm still gonna
and I feel you as well. I feel that as well, because obviously we got to see what happens. So just remind everyone, this is the only Marvel movie coming out this year now.
I think so.
It's the only one.
Damn, so they really scaled back, haven't they?
I feel like they need to. They do. I think it's a good decision.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
If it was to look back on 2024 and X-Men 97 continues the way it does till the end of then I'll be like, yeah. What was a highlight in 2024? X-Men 97. Would come on that list, I think.
And hopefully, fingers crossed, this turns out really well. So we'll definitely be there. We'll be buying our tickets and we'll be bringing you a massive review on it, because we'll break it down and we'll give you spoilers and all that sort of stuff. So watch, keep listening to this podcast for that. Now let's move on to Anniversary Corner. Now this one is 25 years old, 1999. It received a lot of flack when it was released, the CGI, the storyline, the plot line and everything like that. And, loads of shit going on with it. It's been a while since I've last seen this. It's not on my kind of list of classic movies or anything like that. But if you're a Star Wars fan, you will have seen this. This is The Phantom. So Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace. And this is George Lucas going back, doing parts 1, 2, and 3 before we get to the 4, 5, and 6, and then we had the 7, 8, and 9. So, break it down, one of you guys.
Yeah, I mean, this is 25 years old, man, and I remember actually seeing this in a preview years ago, and I thought, okay, this seems cool. Then people kind of slated it because they were like, oh, it's not as good as the originals.
Yeah, the Jar Jar Binks thing.
Love it because it's better than the new ones. So
yeah.
Cannot please everyone. That's all I know. But what I will say is The Phantom Menace, when that first came out, I thought it was okay, but the little boy got on my nerves, Anakin. The whole haircuts they always give these.
But
kids.
The fight scene at the end.
Oh, man. Ray Park. Okay, so Darth Maul, played by Ray Park.
Yeah.
Actually, where I live in London, he's just, what was it, 2 miles down the road? That's where he's from. Yeah, man. He's a local guy.
Yeah, British guy. Yeah, British actor.
And I tell you, they gave us Darth Maul and they took him away again real quick, but they also gave us music.
I can listen to that every day, man.
I just remember the merchandise was Fates. Maul, Darth Maul, Darth Maul all the time.
You see? Mm. I'm telling you, man, they gave us something I think is still special in little parts.
Yes.
Like the fight scene between Darth Maul, Obi-Wan and Liam Neeson.
Qui-Gon.
That fight scene
is wicked.
Oh, wicked,
I love it. And they're waiting for the
doors, isn't it?
They're waiting for the doors, and he's just there. He's just looking at Darth Maul, he's looking at them. He's like flicking, doing his red lightsaber thing, and I'm like, oh, this is wicked.
Oh, that
I'll watch it just for that.
Yeah, then all that new Star Wars put together.
Yeah. Yeah,
that had everything. The lightsaber play is hardly any force movement. There's one bit, I think there's one bit of force movement or action when he closes the door or something to open a door.
Mm.
I think towards the end there's a little bit, but it's hard. It's all real shit.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to watch that again, man. That fight scene.
Yeah, I want to watch that fight scene just again now, just now that we're talking about it. Just quickly, The Acolyte is coming out this year, I think.
Yeah, June, I think.
Mm. Yeah, so in a couple of months' time. So we'll see kind of the Star Wars unit. They're not done with the Star Wars universe, by the way. There's movies coming. Daisy Ridley, she's coming back. But if you haven't seen The Phantom Menace, you know, go back and watch it, you know, just to reacquaint yourself with, you know, how it all started, and let us know what you think. So that's Star Wars Episode 1. Now, that kind of like leads us nicely into the film review, because Rebel Moon, which we spoke about briefly on last week's episode, is kind of trying to be in the same vein. Like, I guess Zack Snyder wants to create his own style, like his version of the Star Wars universe. And Rebel Moon, I've read a lot about it. A lot of people are saying, you know, it's kind of, you know, his take on if he was given the chance to direct a Star Wars type of a movie, this is what he would do. Now, Rebel Moon Part 1, that came out a while ago. DeVal, you know, he went out and watched it and everything. And now, you know, we're getting Part 2. This is called The Scar Giver. Mm. Apparently, he filmed so much footage that there's enough for there to be like a 3-hour, 4-hour movie. This guy, like, honestly, DeVal, he said that there's a 4-hour movie in there somewhere.
Always does that, you know that.
Yeah.
Always does
so,
that.
I don't know where.
Do you reckon it's because he's very indecisive?
Maybe, man. Maybe. Yeah. Watchmen, I know Watchmen was kind of like a long. I liked Watchmen, but you know, obviously the Batman movie, that was kind of long, and like, you know, all this sort of stuff. But anyway, whatever you think of Zack Snyder, this one's come out on Netflix. So take it away, guys. Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver.
Oh, God, Bennett.
Oh, shit. When a review starts off like that.
I'll just say a little bit. I'm not going to go too much into this. But yeah, Rebel Moon for me, Part 1, that kind of was interesting. Don't get me wrong. But kind of fell flat a little bit. This one starts flat. Continues flat.
Oh shit!
This one tries to be too much. It tries to do something that I don't know. It tries too hard, maybe.
Mm.
Zack Snyder,
I think so. I mean, for me, Zack Snyder, I do like his films. Some of his films, anyway. I like Superman, 300 for me, classic.
Oh, wicked! Yeah.
Watchmen. You know, he loves. He's a visionary director. He loves the special effects and all that kind of stuff. Slow motion. This film. Mm. The slow motion was excessive. There was slow motion of them like cutting the fields and all that. I'm like, there was
that wasn't slow motion. I think that was how you felt about the movie.
Watch it again. And they're cutting. Okay. There's a part when they're doing the crops and stuff because
because they're like, preparing or whatever.
Got 5 days to come, so they're trying to do the crops in 3 days, and they're all go and do the crops, and they're just like, you're like. Cutting the crops, and this person's going. And it's too much.
Yeah.
Too much. And lead. What's her name? Sophia something. No, it's not. Sophia Boutella.
French actress. Boutella. We've seen her before.
Yeah, I've seen her before, and she's good. I mean, she's good in other stuff, just not this. In this.
Yeah, she was in The Kingsman.
Yeah, she was exactly.
And The Mummy Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah, in this, I see her as just. I don't know what to like about her. I just don't know what to like about her. Mm. They try and make her out to be some real, like, moody, deep character, but I can't connect in any kind of way with most of the characters. Mm. I don't know. Do you know what? I'm struggling to find something I liked. Anthony Hopkins is this robot. I asked my niece, and she said, that robot that was always lurking around. Yeah. The robot's lurking around wearing clothes that he doesn't need. Anthony Hopkins is doing the voice. The robot's not there until the end. He turns up and pretends like he's Superman.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't know. You got
Jimin. Our mate Jimin Hyunsu's in it, man.
Jimin Hyunsu.
Oh, he says some funny lines.
He's in everything.
And you got both. You got both flipping.
Ed's Korean.
Dario Naharis. You know the guy from Game of Thrones. You got
the original one
and the new one, both in the same film.
Oh my gosh!
You know what? I'm done. I don't give me more. Don't give me more. Any more rebel me? Yeah. If I was the Empire, I'll aim my Death Star at the moon.
At the rebel moon. Yeah, exactly.
Crops. We'll go on a diet. I don't need any crops.
That's an interesting point. You know, we've had Dune recently, and Dune is this kind of, you know, sci-fi epic, and behind the story behind Dune, there's this kind of idea about, you know, about having a messiah like type of a figure and religion and all that sort of stuff. We've got Star Wars, you know, the Force, the good versus evil. Well, like, what's Rebel Moon? Does it go as deep as that?
I think if you're comparing it, you know, to those ones, the problem with comparing them is Dune already had a base in terms of the readers who had loyal Dune followers. Rebel Moon had nothing. Like, you know, what can you say built any following before this Rebel Moon came out? Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, so
I agree though, because you have good films come out on Netflix. Look at Extraction. That came out of nowhere. No one watched it. It was a good film.
Yeah.
Bob's Your Uncle. This one had a really experienced director, good budget. Like, you could have done a good film out of this, but I don't know what happened.
The budget, is $166 million for two movies.
Actually, I mean, they obviously must. He obviously either gives a good pitch, or they have. You know, he's got people who's got a lot of faith in him.
Both,
because I think from what I understand is that he wanted this to be maybe five movies or something like that.
There's not only the director's cut coming out in between that. There's meant to be two more films, man.
Jeez, I just saw that the director's cut. Yeah, so director's cut means that it's going to be longer.
Yeah.
You know what? I think that he may still actually get those others. You know, I think he probably did such a good pitch that they signed on the dotted line and they're just going to commit. They might just say, "Listen, we're going to give you a smaller budget and you're going to have to work with that. Or you're gonna have to do some cuts." But the robot, I thought the robot was probably the best bit for me. Yeah. And I was like, wait, hold on. You had this guy lurking around the whole time, right? And no one spotted him, even when he was so close up overlooking. Like,
I haven't seen the movie and I can already tell his jokes. I can already tell his jokes, man.
It took me three days. I kept falling asleep. Three attempts to watch it. Yeah.
You know what? I got it on the third attempt. So.
Oh gosh.
I've got no chance
of lasting. But listen, look, before we carry on, apparently Zack Snyder pitched the idea for Rebel Moon to Lucasfilm.
Yes.
They took a hard left, man. They passed on it. Now, is that, what does that tell you? Is it because that they just, obviously, DeVell said he's his visionary director. He's got a different take, mature take on the Star Wars stuff. But
my thing is that if he pitched it to start, Lucasfilms, I wouldn't feel any way if someone came to me with my own work or what seems like my own work, but you're pitching it to me. Am I dumb? Like, come on.
You're throwing back.
You're trying to sell me my own stuff, my own stuff. So like, yeah, go on, give it to someone else, mate. Like, this is my brand. I'm looking after it, and good luck. But
so yeah. my question then is: should I be watching these two movies?
Have you not seen either of them, though?
No.
time is cool. Don't worry about it. Don't worry okay. about it. Keep it moving. I say keep it moving. You ain't missing much.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one. If you got one of them days that you haven't got, you got nothing to watch, or
absolutely nothing to watch, and then
don't watch the X-Men cartoons. Don't do anything else.
Yeah. So after he's watched all of that,
after I've seen all of that, yeah. and I've still got time to watch something, then I will put this one on.
Then you go and clean the floor. Or go and iron your shirt.
I've literally gotten. Yeah, I've done everything. All right, then I will do it. All right, okay, cool. That's a great review. Actually, this is what I love about this show. We tell you straight up what the movies are like. So that's interesting. All right. So listen, look, that is a Rebel Moon, the Scar Giver. And listen, look, folks, people who are listening out there in the world, and we've got obviously lots of people who listen out in different countries. Maybe. Flipping hell, you know, you've got a different take. Maybe we're not seeing it right. And maybe Zakharov, you know, if you listen to the show, maybe you've seen it and, you know, you've got a different take on it. Let us know. Get in touch with us. We would love to hear your view. Now, before we finish up, it's just kind of one thing that I want to speak about. I'm going to speak very, very quickly about this. 5 minutes, starting from now. So this is The Fall Guy. I wanted to watch a horror movie at the cinema. I arrived too late. This was the only other thing that was on. So I wasn't even planning to watch this. So I just thought, sorry, I'll just go out on this. This is The Fall Guy, starring Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Hannah Waddingham. She's the one from Game of Thrones. You know, shame. Mm-hmm. That one. And she's big like now on Ted Lasso and everything. She's great. And in it, so The Fall Guy is a kind of based on characters from an 80s TV show. I'm not sure if you remember this, but I used to watch this.
The TV series,
you know, starring Lee Majors. He was Colt Seavers. He was like a stuntman. And every week, it's kind of like the A-Team, where someone would go to him and say, like, Colt, oh, you know, we need your help. We need you to kind of find out about this murder, help us with this murder case, with this case, with that case. So every single episode, he was solving crime, but at the same time, also being a stunt, like, you know, stunt man. It was good. I used to love, you know, great nostalgia for it. The only thing that, there's a few things that it shares in the DNA of this, but I will say, number one, it was filmed in Australia. Number two, it is a love letter to stunts and action movies. No CGI or very little CGI apparently went into the making of this movie. Right. And that was on purpose because the director, he's one of the Deadpool guys, one of the Deadpool directors. David Leitch. Okay. He is really kind of, you know, hands-on. He wants to show basically how the stunts, like, you know, are done. And I got to say, some of the stunts are really, really good. Like, there's this one thing, he does a 360 roll in the car, and at the end of the movie, you actually see the stunts being performed by the actual real stuntmen. And I thought that was good. And it reminded me of, do you remember at the end of the Jackie Chan movies when he used to have the...
The outtakes and the bloopers.
It kind of reminded me of that. So clearly, David Leitch, he's a film director. He's a he started off a stunt, so he's clearly got it breaks the third wall, fourth wall, whatever you want to call it. They speak about kind of, you know, actual movie making, the process of movie making. And then there's a line in there which someone says, at the Oscars don't have a category for best stunt, right? And then he's almost winking to the camera like, no. Like, and it's true. And I thought to myself, shit, yeah, they don't have an Oscar for best stunt.
Yeah.
So I guess they're kind of maybe pushing for that. Maybe that could happen in the future. It's not a stone cold classic for me. It's got some funny bits in there. It's got some great stunt scenes. And it's got this obviously romance in there. But some bits, it was too... it's kind of too farcical. So
it sounds lighthearted.
Very, very lighthearted. But what I would say is, if you've seen Rebel Moon and you've got the time and there's nothing else on at the cinema and this, you know, it's literally the only thing on there, then yeah, it's okay. It's probably better than Rebel Moon from what I gathered. You know, so
but is it, would you say it's still cinema or streaming?
Cinema. I tell you the reason why cinema is because the big action set pieces, they're filmed, like obviously made to be seen on the big screen. So, it's like a movie that it's a movie within a movie. So they're making a movie within the movie, and he plays the stuntman. Emily Blunt, she's the film director. The lead star goes missing, and then Ken, he has to go and find him. And then there's a whole kind of like, you know, plot twists, and there's kind of like so much exposition, but they kind of explain that in the movie as well. They kind of speak about exposition. They're like, oh, maybe we should do away with the exposition sort of stuff. So it's kind of like breaking the fourth wall, kind of like Deadpool. I can see where David Leitch kind of got that idea from Deadpool and stuff like that. So it's okay. It's decent. It's fine. I wouldn't say go out of your way to watch it, but if there's nothing else on.
What is it out of five?
Oh, out of five, I would say, yeah, it's kind of like a 2.5, 3, I would say.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, for a lot of fun, hijinks, that type of a thing. Yeah. All right, so that's the Fall Guy. And before we finish off the show, Deval is going to do a hidden gem.
Yes, I promised a quick hidden gem, thanks, courtesy to... the 5F's Telegram channel that recommended this film. If you've got any recommendations for Hidden Gem, please do let us know. We love a hidden gem. So this one is called Knox Goes Away.
Mm.
Knox Goes Away. This is starring Michael Keaton, also directed by Michael Keaton too.
Oh.
So he's in front and behind the camera at the same time. don't know how he does that. But... yeah, this is a very interesting film. Mm. So basically, Michael Keaton stars as a hitman or contract killer who is really good at his job. He's coming to the end of his career, but he's still good at his job. He does what he needs to do. And the people that he's killing, they give you the impression that they are really low people.
Right.
Like pedophiles and all that kind of people that kind of...
Oh, I saw this trailer, yeah.
So they kind of make him seem like he's doing a good job, even though obviously killing is wrong, obviously.
Mm.
But anyway, so that's him. He's got an ex-wife. He's got a son that he doesn't see. That's his sort of family life. He didn't really get into it that much at the start. But the interesting thing about this film is that Michael Keaton's character is suffering from a condition not too dissimilar from dementia.
Mm.
Okay.
So he finds out, starts to forget stuff. He goes for a test and he finds out it's not called dementia. It's another long-winded name, but it's even worse than dementia.
No, gosh. Doctor tells him
dementia is, you'll be glad to have that. This is more.
Jesus.
This is more rapid.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then he's a hitman. He's got this, and it's just not good. He's like, his mind.
Yeah, that's not a hitman. That's not something you want to have as a hitman, because you. Your job relies on you remembering who you hit, you know. And
well, on that, Emmanuel. So I'm not going to give you too much. I'll give you this little snippet, just to whet your appetite. But after that news, I think it's after that news. He does go in one more job. It's meant to be a last job before he goes away. He says. Mm. He goes with his partners to do the job. And on that job, things get messed up.
Mm.
So originally, he does kill the mark, but also the mark is with an innocent person.
Oh, also kills the innocent person. Killed.
And then his partner comes into the room afterwards, and he shoots him.
Oh, shit.
Finds
and
out.
Don't tell me he forgets about it.
I think he doesn't recognize him, innit? Because his mind is so... Sometimes his mind will trick him, and it's like, he just... And his partner, what are you doing? And he's like, he remembers, you know what I mean? It's mad. The way Michael Keaton plays it, it's quite good, you know?
Yeah.
It's
a serious film, but a lot of the cast as well are all kind of older people. So you've got Al Pacino in the film as well.
Mm.
You've got the person who washes his money. He's an older person. So it's kind of like, it's a different vibe. They're all mature people. No messing around, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, because I'm imagining that he's a hitman and he's been doing it all of his life.
There you
go. Now he's coming to retire. Yeah. So all of the people that he's worked with, if you're a hitman, you don't want no one knew.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, Emmanuel, you're chatting too on the point here, man. But it's true. All the people he's worked with for 30 years or whatever, they're all like, you know, so But yeah, that's all I'm going to say about this film so far. It's like I said, it was recommended. I watched it in one take, just under 2 hours. Really interesting film. The relationship he has with his son, something happens there that makes this film just go belly up. His ex-wife is there as well. Lots of different intricacies.
Oh, this sounds good, very simple.
Mm. I didn't see the trailer. I didn't see anything. Even if you want to watch this film and maybe you're starting to hear me talk, stop, go watch the film and maybe come back.
I love these types of movies, this kind of moral dilemma, man.
I saw the thumbnail and I would never have watched this film. I thought,
I remember seeing the trailer. I think it was like last year.
Yeah.
But it didn't really appeal to me.
You know, it sounds like a movie, like, this might sound a bit strange, but it sounds like a movie that Clint Eastwood would do if he was maybe like about 10 years younger.
Yeah,
this kind of aging old guy.
Yeah, kind of like that one.
It sounds good. Yeah. And also, listen, look, man, I'm a fan of the whole assassin hitman genre. We watched recently on Netflix, there was this Michael Fassbender movie.
The Killer.
The Killer. That one, there's something about kind of hitmen. And like, obviously we've reviewed and we've seen The Equalizer. That's probably kind of, that's in the same genre, but a different style. Elaborate, action-packed and stuff like that. But I'm liking these kind of, these slow burner types.
Watch it. So I ain't going to say anything more about this.
Brilliant.
Better than The Scar Giver, better than whatever. It's just good, man. Yeah, just watch it. That's all I can say. I ain't saying anything more, man.
Brilliant. All right. Okay, good. So that's Knox Goes Away. And remember, folks, if you do see the movie, let us know. Get in touch with us. Leave a review, a video review if you want on our page, and just tag us at The Flicksters and we will speak about it. Um, and listen, look, guys, what have we got coming up in April, May? What have we got?
Well, do you know what? I saw Boy Kills World yesterday.
Oh man, so this is the Skarsgård movie.
Skarsgård, yeah. I won't say anything, but yeah, I've seen it. Right, next time.
Ah, wicked. All right, okay.
We've got Planet of the Apes.
We got Planet of the Apes is coming soon.
We got what's that Zendaya movie?
The Challengers.
Challengers. Yeah.
We've got a few films coming out. We haven't got The Fall Guy actually. That comes out here the 2nd of May, so you got that early.
Oh, but you know why? Because of straight, like, it was filmed in Australia
as well. We got that Imaginary if. Friends.
Oh yeah, with Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Deadpool.
Yeah. If.
Oh damn.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's
Garfield
that one
movie. Oh, Mad Max, isn't it? Mad Max.
Oh, yes.
Mad Max. What about, did you guys ever see or want to see or are going to see Back to Black?
Oh, I've seen that already.
Seen it? Oh, okay. Yeah,
have you seen it?
Yeah.
I do want to see it.
Good. Thumbs up, thumbs down?
It's okay. It's all right. I mean, if you're a fan of the singer, Amy Winehouse. Yeah. I mean, she went to the Brit School, which is near me, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
we went to Camden a couple of weeks ago, and it was like there's so much kind of Amy Winehouse. We went to the pub that she was there at as well, so it's still her presence is definitely still there as well. Yeah. So listen, look, folks, we've got a few movies that are going to be coming out very, very soon, and obviously some big ones. You know, Boy Kills World. You know, there's all this sort of stuff that we're going to be doing. Yeah, that's it. That's all we've got time for on today's show. We hope you liked it. Obviously, subscribe, do all of that sort of stuff. Like us and keep in touch with us.
All right. Peace out.
Peace.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just pop in The Flicksters Podcast.